Well, good morning. 6:08. TSN Mornings on TSN 1200 is underway. You know what? I could probably, that'd be an easy 4 hours, Hammer. I'm just going to get you to get the kind of the best of all the Bill Burr specials. Just run that till 10, and I'll sit here and laugh. I'll have a good time.
Way too much editing.
Yeah, way too much. Yeah, that'd be like trying to edit Trailer Park Boys, right, for TVO or something like that. Good morning once again. It is Steve Lloyd sitting in for JR Simmer Hammer with you here. We got a lot to get to here on this morning's show. We're going to check in with Daddy Daycare. That's from Mark Mathot. He's going to join us shortly after 9 o'clock this morning. You're probably up right now, Mark. Good morning. Because somebody woke you up, right? You're walking around. You're handling something. Oh, he's got two very young kids. So we'll talk to Mark about that and, you know, his thoughts on where the NHL is right now. Maybe what the players are feeling. Pretty still well connected with current players. We'll have that conversation shortly after 9. Pierre McGuire will join us shortly after 8. And I would say the biggest kind of hockey concern is, you know, what's going on at the Hockey Canada's World Junior Camp and the new measures in Alberta. So we'll sink our teeth into that here as well. But I do say good morning to our good friend Simmer. Simmer, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Lloydy. A little greasy coming in, but took my time, grabbed my coffee into the cockpit here, me and Hammer, and ready to rock and roll.
Without incident and...
Oh, yeah. You
know, sometimes
oh, no.
You get stuck behind somebody in the line.
No. A little slow going through the McDonald's, grabbing the coffee. But as far as the driving, just taking it slow. Not a lot of people out on the road. Lots of plows. And funny hearing any intro Hammer puts together. First of all, always excellently done. But he's talking about donuts. First thing I think about is going to Rhode Island as a kid. And they had this fried breakfast and calling home and thinking anything that's fried is going to be tasty. And it was. And then also Albany, New York. The flashbacks of flying into that airport. I'd say probably 100 times, Lloydy. You just have this incredible thought. If anybody's been to Albany, it's about 40 minutes north of the city, and in the middle of nowhere. So interesting little monologue to start the show.
What's the we're going on a detour to
begin,
which is fine.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the smallest worst flying experience you've had?
Smallest,
like you're on the little plane, yeah, just bouncing around, yeah, the turbulence. You're like, what is going,
yeah,
on?
Well,
I'm guessing Russia.
Russia.
No. Actually, the Russian flights were actually pretty good. I remember flying from Moscow to Ufa, and I kept looking down and thinking, why are we only 50 feet over the ground the whole time? But that's okay. Also, lots of times you go to take your seatbelt out, and the part on the seat wasn't connected. The tray would not necessarily go up. I remember the one time I was like, oh, this is my window, and you kind of push on the window and realize it actually could pop out. You know, those are some of the things on big flights. Christmas Day, flying to the World Junior, must have been 2001. I'm sitting next to always blanking on the agent. Ian Pulver. We're sitting literally aisle seats right next to each other. We meet not even just by chance, and I know Ian fairly well. Flying from
you didn't know his name.
Come flying from Frankfurt to Moscow, and all of a sudden we're up in the air, Lloydy, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. Masks come down. Everybody's running around, and when they're running around in a foreign language, that part, right? You're like, oh man, and we literally looked at each other, and this is a bonding experience. Hey, we're gonna die together. Don't know you that well, but sure enough, they had some issues with door pressurization. We end up going back. Now, as far as flights itself, anybody that's flown and traveled quite a bit, there's some landing spots that are crazy. Every time I'd go into DC, you'd run down, of course, the river, and you think of, I don't know if you remember when as a kid, they had the plane crash there. That was always made you nervous. Mm. But nothing is worse than coming down in the small plane. You're probably coming from Syracuse, and you're going to go into LaGuardia. So in the middle of the winter, you take the nice little path right down the Hudson River. And the Hudson River, if you want to talk about getting tossed around, and you go to anybody that flies that, you fly down the Hudson, you go down the bottom of Manhattan, basically, you know, where the World Trade Centers were, and you do the turn, and then you come back into LaGuardia. So I'm going to go with that. And also, hockey related, anybody that flies into Teterboro in New Jersey, that was always a disaster. And I don't know how much you travel, but anything around the coast, the east, you know, first of all, weather that's coming, wind, rain, anything else there was always a ton of turbulence. So there you go.
With me, speaking of the east, Dash 8 from Halifax to Deer Lake.
Okay.
And you're...
Where is Deer Lake, Newfoundland?
Yeah, oh, it's cool. on the West Coast.
Oh, cool.
If you fly to the West Coast, that's where my wife is from, the Corner Brook area.
What's that like?
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, I'd love to.
In your mind's eye, for people who have never been to Newfoundland, and I was the same way before the first time I'd ever went, in your mind's eye, you think fog, you think St. John's, you think that kind of a landscape,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that kind of a climate.
When you get into the interior, it's a long ways, too, right?
Well, you go to the west, west coast of the island, Corner Brook, Deer Lake, up and down that way.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've been to BC skiing a few times. Okay. It reminds me of BC.
Okay.
The mountains aren't quite as big at that, but it's got more of that kind of a feel to it.
Okay. It's a shame, Lloydy, too. And again, I'll go a little Bourdain. One of his last trips, he ended up going to St. John's.
I watched that one. That was really good.
Well, they went about 8 hours west, did they not, to go moose hunting? Didn't find anything. But, you know, when you look at that, it's sad. And what they kind of pointed out, like when they're out on the coast of Newfoundland and they're fishing, you know, we used to joke about Newfoundland. Well, you look at that. I mean, you think to yourself, what's any different than the coast of Ireland or the coast of France, right? It's so celebrated. It's gorgeous. And also, St. John's, I can think going there probably 1991. And obviously at the time with the fishing shutdown, the feel around it was just going to shut down, right? You go there now, it's absolutely gorgeous. And I think it was 04, 05, we were moving the farm team in Toronto to Toronto. And I remember asking Mike Penny, who I was working for, hey, just send me up for one more weekend. And I had a hoot. It was actually Randy Carlisle must have been coaching the Moose, Dougie Shedden, and both of those guys drink red wine to the point that I think they were priests in another lifetime. You know, we ended up having such a hoot to go up there for the weekend. Everybody's gone. Just love the place. And I keep saying to Mira, we were going to try to go this summer to the music festival. And then obviously all hell broke loose. What a great place. And I still remember Randy Carlisle, great with the quotes. Somebody in the media the next day said, hey, I heard you went over and had dinner at Shedzie's. And he said, yeah, tried to drown me. You know, talking about having the red wine. So some good, and honestly, no better people, as you know, than I'll say all the Maritimes, not just there, living in Chatham, traveling to Halifax, traveling all over Sydney, up to Newfoundland, just outstanding people.
Well, if you ever go to the West Coast, Newfoundland, you got to go to Gros Morne Park, go to Deer Lake, head north, go to the Western Brook Pond.
Okay.
Take the boat, whatever the tour boat, whatever they call, and they go into the old fjord. It is unbelievable, the landscape.
Okay.
It is just
incredible.
Do you get
a chance to do any fishing, Lloydy?
Yeah, we did. I've done that with my wife's family, which is, it's a huge family. Both her parent, her dad and her mom each came from families of 12 kids.
Oh, wow.
And lived on different islands off the coast of Newfoundland.
Oh, beautiful.
And so we went a couple times. We went to the where my wife's mother is from. And you got to take a ferry to get to this place.
Okay.
And they got relatives still on the island, and they take us cod fishing out into the ocean. And go jigging.
Yeah.
It's all good. Anyways,
yeah.
I was talking about planes, actually. So there's that.
And now you jigged a fish. So there
I know.
Go.
And the other thing, I went to school in Thunder Bay. And back in those days, Bearskin Airlines used to.
Oh, I took many a time. The Ottawa connection from North Bay to the Sioux. Hey,
you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, totally.
And they don't fly to Ottawa. It used to be the most southern destination. They don't come to Ottawa anymore. But so it was cheap. That's why I was a student, and I would take that.
Sure,
you would deliver the milk, right?
Yeah.
You stop in North Bay. You stop in Sudbury. You stop on the Sioux. You go to Thunder Bay. Or at least you stop at least two in between. I was kicked off a couple times because they gave me student standby and was booked from North Bay on. But you'd remember, right? They had a curtain and a cooler.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody gets a window seat, right? There's no – and it's the honor system.
Yeah.
And did that thing – and your luggage went in the nose cone.
Yeah.
That thing used to shake around in the
wind. Oh, it did. And that used to be – or you'd take kind of from here to Toronto and then up to the Sioux. So much of that travel is long gone. And Hammer will hop in here in a second. The other part of that, Lloyd, you know, I used to fly into Portland, Maine all the time. They would open up the curtain. When you can see in front of you, I'm like, please stop that. Please stop that. Because you really realize that the planes are coming in sideways, the way that they're navigating the wind, right? Like, you're not straight. Like, your plane is literally flying sideways as it's about to land. So, you got a little something, Hammer?
I've got nothing to add to your conversation because I've had, I haven't flown a lot in my life. I just left the Eastern time zone not too long ago for the very first time.
I find that absolutely incredible.
I love the Eastern time zone. Some people call it sheltered. I call it just much love for the East. That's what I call it.
That's a true American. Hey, we drive down to North Carolina.
Totally, man.
And you'd ask somebody, hey,
yeah.
You have any idea? And they literally have not left North Carolina. Don't know what's going on in Virginia. Don't know anything about maybe South Carolina a little bit, but nothing about the North. I mean, hey, if you ask them about the District
of
Columbia.
If it's not a mile from my house, I have no idea.
Well, exactly.
When you live in the best place on Earth, which was Belleville at the time, why would you go anywhere else?
That's a good
point.
It
just doesn't compete.
Well, and basically Belleville is the equivalent of living in France right next to wine country, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you don't live in a house, you live in a chateau.
In the county. Going to get that fresh wine from the county, from the island.
Oh, man. All right.
Now I want to go fishing. That's one thing I'll say from my childhood, having a cottage up in Quebec, up in old Macaulay Lake, and we were a little bit lower in Wakefield. I fished so much as a kid, Lloydie. That's one thing. When Bunda talks about going or other people or ocean fishing, I like when you're doing the jigging.
That's what we did.
Trolling to me is no fun. You're just sitting there, and it's fun, I guess, when you get a real big fish and, you're pulling it in. But there's just nothing better than doing the old casting, well, eh?
With jigging, so it's cod we're jigging for. We got a bunch, but you pull up these dinosaur looking fish, right? And I don't even know the name of these things. It's the most scariest, hideous.
Oh, yeah?
They look like little dinosaurs.
Really?
And you look at those things, and you throw those back.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But there's nothing better. You catch them, and my wife's aunt would come back, clean them, the cod, boom, ate them that night.
Cod beautiful. Is king.
Oh,
you get screeched in nicely too.
Yeah, I did that once as well. They made me do that. Yeah. Oh, I've done it all summer.
Little newfie steak on the side?
Oh, all of it. Hey? Yes.
Nice.
All of it. Kiss the cod, screeched in, the whole deal.
Oh, now I want to go to Newfoundland.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. When we come back, that was fun. All right. I have a little, it's not as much of a fun conversation next. What's going to go on with the World Junior Camp? And there's other COVID issues and other sporting events. Are the Ravens and Steelers actually going to play tomorrow night? How about Wisconsin and Minnesota? And the Badgers, that's kind of sad. A streak is coming to an end there. So we'll hit on some of that coming up next here on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.
Cat crap.
Not yet today. Oh, man, that was... You guys have no idea how bad that was the other morning.
Yeah,
I discovered
is,
it
yeah.
the first commercial break. I'm like, there is a piece of cat doo-doo
on
the stairs.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. Why is this
freaking
out?
It came from the cat, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You've got a cat. Sometimes there's going to be a few accidents where it kind of catches up on the fur, and then it finds its way off.
But then I got to find the cat. Where is it in the house? What is it sitting on? What is this dragging? Like, how bad is it? And I got so lucky, nothing else happened. And I could have had a house just covered in that cat's, So there we go. Okay.
It's a cat. It's not like the scene from Dumb and Dumber here. It's not going to spread all over the house.
You never know. Hey, you think about Meet the Parents, Jinxie. Hey, just destroyed the house, so not get carried away and be giving it to the dogs, hey?
How do you remember that cat's name?
Oh, I think you watched that movie enough times. Very powerful movie, hey?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Jinxie knew how to flush the toilet. I mean, you remember those scenes, hey?
I'm pretty sure Jinxie, that's what our cat looks like, actually.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's a great point.
There we go. I think it's the same thing.
They're a dime a dozen. You actually find the replacement in the movie. Hey.
Okay, where was I? Yes, okay. Hammer. You went on with your report here, and you're playing slip sliding away here.
Yeah, well, just take some care so you're not slip sliding away.
Yeah, I came in later than Hammer, and it really is, Lloydie. It's, hey, they're doing their best. The plows are out there, but it is greasy and switching over a little bit to rain. So, anybody that's getting in, just tune in to a little TSN 1200. Go slow, and we'll ease into work.
So I just had a quick chat with one of my kids already up and said, snow day? I said, no. And I just hear under the breath, dang it. I go, well, too bad. Okay, we'll see how that works out.
She could have said something a lot worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Yeah, that's true, too. All right, let's why don't we talk some sports, gentlemen? Okay,
yeah,
let's get into it here. Well, all right, we'll play some sound here from the World Junior Selection Camp in Alberta. So let me just tee this up here in case you've kind of missed some of the other news from yesterday. Alberta has really put in some new restrictions. Per capita, Alberta is the hotspot for the country right now. The Premier, Jason Kenney, brought in all kinds of restrictions about gatherings, and I think immediately wondered here in our little sports world, what does this mean for Hockey Canada? Well, sports have been ordered to shut down province-wide, but you can apply for exemptions. So we would assume Hockey Canada is doing that, will be doing that. These requests have to be in by Friday, province-wide, for whatever sport that activity, if you're going to try to get an exemption. So Ryan Rashog reported last night that Hockey Canada fully expects, and Alberta Health thinks it's going to be okay for them to continue their camp. So why don't we play a little sound here, and then we'll get into it, Simmer. Here is Craig Button, who was also there with Rashog covering the camp on Team Canada shutting down the camp.
When we look back to the positive test for the staff member, we saw that isolation occurred, including assistant coaches Michael Dick and Jason LaBarbera. That was a speed bump, we'll call it. This is a full stop with two players now testing positive, because going through the contact tracing is essential to meeting the protocols. Hockey Canada is working very closely with Alberta Health Services, and now with this full stop, it's trying to ensure that you understand who may have been in close contact so that the possibility of proceeding forward can still exist.
All right, so when do they proceed forward? At this point here, I don't even know if they're going to be doing anything today, because there could be more positive tests within the camp, and then you get into the whole provincial issue, Simmer.
Well, you know, hey, the health and safety, you get into federal and provincial guidelines, Lloydy. I look at something like this, and you say to yourself, when the National Hockey League pulled this off, assumption is that your bubble is somewhat compromised, whatever Hockey Canada is doing. And not that having Craig or anybody else coming from Calgary into the bubble, I don't think he's interacting with players, but you would be curious about, and I wondered this when the NHL was doing the NBA, anybody that's delivering food, where are you staying? You know what I mean? Like, are people interacting in the regular society? So, hey, probably a pretty good time, wake-up call for Hockey Canada to understand, got to shut this thing right down. We got to create our own bubble here and start to kind of figure out if there is going to be, and this isn't a small center in Red Deer. I don't know where everyone's coming from, but like I say, you're going to have to take this to the next level. And I'll say I don't think this is going to happen, and certainly Edmonton pulled it off very well with the National Hockey League. If it becomes too much of an issue in Alberta, move it to here to Ottawa. We've got the Brook Street Hotel, we've got the Holiday Inn, we're ready to rock and roll. The problem and the issue you have, Lloydy, is that I don't think there's really any incentive for anybody to host this right now, right? There's no revenue really being generated by the tournament itself. Like, it's just basically trying to pull it off. And I'll say for our company, I mean, the benefit is for the Canadian viewers, but certainly the benefit is for TSN, right? I mean, there's no revenues going to come in. We're just excited to see some real good hockey. So like I said, I don't think this is bad. And I also think after even a week of being on the ice after not doing a whole lot, a couple of days for the players, Lloyd, is probably not the worst thing in the world, just to reset, figure out what the hell's going on, and try to move forward.
We can make comparisons to the NHL bubble, but so many differences. And if you recall, remember, it was supposed to be Vegas, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was supposed to
Chicago
be Vegas.
And all these sexy places, L.A. was involved.
Well, Vegas was it really felt like it was going to be Vegas. And then the spike happened in Vegas, and it's like, we can't do it. So we're going to have two Canadian centers. So Edmonton, you're in, because Alberta was in great shape. There's hardly any cases. Yeah, it was all good. And now flip that around. Alberta is the worst spot in this country right now. And you've already got the selection camp just down the road in Red Deer from Edmonton. And it's the same feeling for me as once we got word, okay, the NHL's coming back. We're going to have this 24-team tournament. Tampa Bay Lightning had an outbreak.
Oh, for sure.
Won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same feeling as this, Simmer, in that it's a race to December 14th. It is for all of the countries involved
for
here. Can we be stable enough between now and then
for sure.
And not have enough cases? And at that moment in time, whenever we hop on our plane and for Canada on the bus from Red Deer, can we make it? Can we make it to the bubble here?
Yeah, and you're right.
Because once you get in, I think everybody feels a little bit better because it did go so well once everybody was in the bubble in Edmonton and in Toronto for that
moment. I think so too, Lordy. And is it 12 teams or 10? I can never remember. Eight move on to the thing. And is it the bottom four play each other or just the bottom two? I'll go 10. So bottom
it is 10.
Two.
Yeah,
okay, yeah. So,
it,
so
you scaled it down a few years ago.
And the bottom two, which makes sense. There's just not enough teams around the world. Bottom two play, loser goes down to the relegation, which is always kind of the same country switching in and out. We'll see how Oshry does. I think once you get these teenagers, and I'll also say just in the middle of winter in Edmonton, you know, there's not a whole lot going on. You hunker down into your hotel, you do it. I think they'll end up being fine at the end of the day. And as you pointed out, the bigger question would be, and I don't think this is going to have any effect necessarily on who to choose for the team, but if you also go back to how this affected the Boston Bruins, you know, obviously Rask leaving the bubble was one thing, but there was certainly a lot of feel when we talked to Bruce Cassidy that guys like Pastrnak, they had a number of players that quite simply had to stay home for 2 weeks, right, that were never able to get back their fitness. So that's the part or the angle. And from a Canadian perspective, I don't want to say it's all interchangeable because you certainly have your top players, but the, you know, the margin of error for the Swedens and the Finlands and these other countries, they'll have their two or three, four real good players, and then they'll have a whole bunch else. You wipe out a couple of their better players, and I'm not saying they're going to relegation, but it could get dicey in a hurry. You know, I mean, well, that, bigger picture, like you really, like I say, you go through these rosters, they just don't have the depth that Canada has, obviously.
Well, and a great point, because we can all agree, Simmer, the world has caught up a little bit, more than a little bit, to Canada over the years, and to the United States as well. The one thing...
Not in the sheer volume,
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Canada still has a massive advantage overall depth. So making this World Junior Selection Camp, part of the reason why it's this long, A, B, why there's so many people invited, they were game planning for this. Yeah. They might pick this team based on who doesn't have COVID or who feels the best after getting COVID at this point.
A funny little text yesterday. A couple of things. I texted my buddy Jeff Jackson yesterday morning. He said, "What's up?" He says, "Why are you asking?" And then I went into the room after the show and I heard Craig Button complaining about Byfield not looking very good early in the camp. Yeah. I think he thought I was asking about that. And also want to give a shout out to our good friend Jeff Hopper, whose father passed away on the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. Great, great man. We all love the Hops and feeling bad about him. But strangely enough, yesterday afternoon, I'm checking in on Hops. I'm going back and forth, and all of a sudden, I send a text out, and it's just on WhatsApp, and I say, "Hey, is it accurate to say you represent McDavid and Matthews?" And Hops texts me back, what do you mean? I was texting Jeff Hopper versus Jeff Jackson, so a lot worse things could happen on text loyalty in life, but anyways.
Oh, we've all had text mishaps since texting became a thing.
Well, so the WhatsApp's got a beautiful little thing there. You're able to grab that bad boy in a hurry and deleted on both ends. But I just was going in back and forth, and I found that interesting that, and this would be from the Ottawa angle. Do you imagine, simple report like that, okay, bit of a no-show so far, like the whole Byfield link to Logan Brown and the feel of the base here, I really felt Lloydy going in. It was like, just listen, let the kid go to L.A., don't end bringing him in here. But when you start seeing those reports like that early on, and it doesn't mean anything, but it would have been, do you imagine if that was Ottawa's pick? And by day two or three, they're saying, you know what, Byfield's off to a slow start. Like the fan base and the social media would have been all over this kid.
Yeah, and the Stützle news came down late in the show yesterday. He's getting better and better, and says
that's amazing,
with
a broken
hand.
Nothing's
going to keep him back.
And he's been drinking even more milk, and you know, and so he that's
stop
what,
it.
Yeah. No, I know, but it just honestly, like the report, like if honestly, like hey, if you have a torn out knee or you have something, you know, you have major shoulder surgery, I totally understand that. The fella broke a bone in his hand. He had a cast. Of course he's healing. I wanted to swear right there. I won't swear.
Again, anyway, we had delay hammer.
And it has been fun to see, some of his skating stuff as well, the skill. And I am, honestly, Lloydy, I am so pumped to watch him play, to watch Jake Sanderson. I was actually fantasizing driving in my car today about on Christmas Day watching Jake Sanderson play hockey. That's how you transition in your 50s as a male, the things that you think about early in the morning.
You need to dream bigger. I'm thinking of those lotto ads. Okay, that's your fantasy.
You know what? I dream about winning the lottery all the time, and I never buy tickets. That's the great part. Hey?
Well, that's interesting right there.
Yeah. So, there we go. Anyways, excited to see them play come World Junior time. And I'm, you know, from a Canadian perspective, what's interesting, too, there has to be a little bit of the Raptors and the Blue Jays. And I'm going to go a couple of different angles here, which is interesting, Lloydy. And we'll do
that's
this.
That's what you do.
We'll do this exactly. We'll do this by the end of the show. from a revenue standpoint, without the Jays in a regular season and the Raptors, could you imagine even, and I know as far as the country and even as far as the city, it's not a big deal, but do you imagine how much income tax is actually being lost by those athletes not playing in Canada? Like, the combined payrolls of the two teams would be, am I right in saying $200 million?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
There's $100 million. And again, I know it's billions, although we're certainly
in debt. But you know what? To be fair about that, it's not just because we pay more taxes in Canada. That's well documented, and we can get into, you know, how that can be worked out. In the United States, as you know, Simmer, there's many cities that have a visitor's tax.
And that came in the 90s, had to claim, and it was more of a pain in the ass. Now, what's interesting with the athletes, and especially foreign athletes playing in Toronto, their actual tax rate, Lloydie, is quite a bit lower. They have all kinds of tax protections through the CRA, and it can go as low as 20%. Like, there's a lot. I know Matt
Sundin. You defer a lot of your salary
when
you're done
exactly.
playing.
And depending on the tax treaty, as I'm going to come back to my original point, Byron Defoe, when I was in Washington, had signed. At that time, he had a UK passport. There was a treaty between the United States and the UK. You didn't have to pay income tax. Byron, early in his career, I don't know if it went the whole career, did not have to pay income tax in the United States. Like, it was really interesting to see the treaty. Now, back to the Raptors. Is that if I'm the Raptors, I would be asking, and I know it's a bubble situation versus going in and out, but it's interesting that you want to bring these nine teams from other countries into Canada, but at the same time, you wouldn't have any interest in having the Raptors have a home season.
Well, because you're talking about, but yeah, it's a bubble format versus let's just come and go across the border and travel.
For sure. But also, if you said, you're right, the bubble could never be accomplished. I was going to say a team could come in and play two or three teams. But I'm just saying, the work that we're putting in for a World Junior, I would say if this was other countries, just knowing, and they term it to be the boys' tournament. Like, if you go to Europe, it's not, it's so out of sight, out of mind for a lot of countries. I have no doubt, unless it was Finland, Russia's in complete denial, if it was any other country in Europe, it would have been canceled by now, the World Junior. Like, it's just not a factor. We're here for us and hosting it, and obviously it's a big, big deal, and I'm glad, and let's just cross our fingers and hope they can pull it off.
Well, and here's the thing, and I wanted to bring it back to this as well. We're all under the assumption that the federal government has signed off on this 100% fully.
Yeah.
Simmer, that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, but I got to have faith.
There hasn't been the 100% thumbs up, you guys are good to go yet.
Well, I think on Trudeau, because he thought he had ordered vaccines, but then he realized yesterday he didn't get a confirmation number, so it's probably just some oversight at this point, right? Hey, I thought he ordered the vaccine for the country.
Don't expect the confirmation number to be emailed to you when you purchase something. Just in case.
Next time, order your vaccines from Amazon. It'll be there right now. but you're right, but it also shows the power, because as I said, the federal governments in places in Europe, they'd be like, listen, I'm bringing in this boys hockey tournament, can we end up putting it on? They'd be like, are you kidding me? We don't even have the Bundesliga going on right now, we're gonna have a boys hockey tournament. So I'm sure it'll all be taken care of. The question would be, is there a plan B as far as a site, Lloydie? Like, would they ever look to go somewhere else?
I can't see it, Simmer. You're too close to it. Like, if
based
it doesn't
on, but,
happen,
but why not though?
Well, logistically, just to get something up and running that quickly with that many people involved, countries flying in and everything into it, I can't see it. We're a month out.
Yeah, but logistically, like, I'll just use Winnipeg as an example. Most hotel spaces in cities right now is empty. You're not selling any inventory for it. Your biggest thing is to put on the broadcast. I'm saying it's difficult, but all you tell them is their flight plan has to be different where they're coming in. If you had to radically do that, it's a lot different than you sold a bunch of inventory. That's all I'm saying.
Then you got to jump through all the legal hoops, all the health hoops, wherever you're going to go, even if it's a safer place.
Yeah,
I can't see it. Like, we're a month out. If it doesn't happen in Edmonton, I'm dying to watch some high level hockey. I can't see it, Simmer.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't think logistically it is that hard, but I know there's work behind the scenes. They already have the bubble set up in Edmonton. I don't know what the protocols were when they did that, and they did Toronto. I'm just saying, hey, if you had to end up switching around, different than normal year, and the question would be, from a TSN perspective and a Canadian perspective, is how bad you want to put the tournament on. Is plan B to cancel, or plan B is to find another venue? Personally, as it sits right now, I think they could still pull it off if they really wanted to, that's all.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, and unfortunately, there's some other sporting news with COVID having that effect. Interesting story. Well, sad story, really, with Wisconsin, as not going to play Minnesota this weekend. And this will bring a over 100-year run with Wisconsin playing Minnesota to an end, and also will not play enough games to be eligible for any type of championship as well.
Pretty
sad there.
Yeah.
That happened. And then we got the Thanksgiving games tomorrow. Could we only have two and not three? We'll hit on that coming up next on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200. Okay, I've been distracted just coming back here. Hammer, I just saw your tweet, quote tweeting Zimmer from yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who taught you how to park a car?
Yeah. Okay,
Hammer.
Listen.
I mean, listen, there's a photo here. Hammer's
yeah,
just tweeted.
The photo evidence is very
TSN,
accurate.
Hammer.
Okay, to who's
okay
at fault.
On the one side, he's yeah. going to leave work yesterday, okay,
yeah.
and the person next to him is to park very, very tight to the driver's side door, and it's a tight squeeze. For Hammer, especially these days, right, Hammer? Hey, real tight squeeze. Okay,
that's where having the minivan, the sliding doors actually
yeah.
help.
Now on the other side, on the other side, there's a vehicle parked, and I can see all the room
exactly
to the next line yeah. for the park. You are parked way over. That's
yeah.
your fault.
Yeah. Listen, that's not the original vehicle that was parked on my passenger side.
Oh,
as you can see.
I have photo evidence right there. Right?
Oh.
And that's when you're trying to be cool and back in. That's exactly there, what happens.
Oh, you've got right? it back in. It's so much easier. So much easier. But I left myself the room I needed to get in and out on the driver's side. And for the person yeah. Who had the driver's side pointed on my passenger side, for uh-huh. them to get in and out. Now, that person left. Another person came in. And that's why there is a little extra space. So there is no excuse for the white SUV on my driver's side yeah. to be parked that tight to me. And, yes, I did still make it in.
You were able to slide in, eh?
I did slide in.
Did you have to lube up a bit? Or are you
good? I dented the hell out of the passenger side door of the car that's beside me, but I got myself in.
Oh, that was going to be an incident now. Oh, man. Simmer,
Crime Stoppers. That's Graham Richardson's yeah. car. Hey,
I'm gonna say,
live at 6.
You cropped out the plate on Hammer. Might have been a good thing. Hey, you could have exposed the... Yeah. No, you did. You did.
I did.
It's not there.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't.
Oh,
even,
no, you didn't. Oh, no, wait a minute. You didn't. Oh. What are you doing? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, geez,
I just clicked. I clicked
I
on
never,
the photo.
Oh,
and you didn't.
I apologize.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Does okay. anybody do anything with photoshopping pictures of license plates?
All of a sudden, Hammer's going to get all these tickets. People just, you know what? I saw this guy. You should have seen the way he's driving. Here's the plate.
I normally don't drive this vehicle. This vehicle is usually my wife, so it's parked nicely in my garage in the winter.
Poor Dan.
So it's all right.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. Let's dive back in, shall we, here? All right. I've teased the story a few times here, and there's more things to be disappointed, bigger picture. Okay, don't get me wrong. But there is a 113-year history that is coming to an end. The cancellation between Minnesota and Wisconsin. They've met for 113 years on the football field. And that comes to an end because now that game has been called off because of COVID issues with Minnesota. 9 players, 6 staff members tested positive over the last 5 days. There could be more. With still tests coming back in here. And, Simmer, this is the Badgers' third cancellation of the season. They won't play enough games to qualify for the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah.
So that's their record is 2-1. And they just don't have enough time, games, whatever. Essentially, their season's over.
It is. But it is, I guess, some tradition. That's the world you end up living in. Back to 1907, I guess that's the interrupted history, and we've seen things in the past, and we'd think, oh my God, it was interrupted by World War I, World War II, the plague, other things. Never thought this would happen in our lifetime, but hey, this is where you're at. I think for most of these young athletes, Lloydie, they've played some games, you've moved along, but at the end of the day, what are you going to do? This is the world that we're living in, and we are on the eve of, guys. It is Wednesday, and in the United States, with Thanksgiving being tomorrow, it is the most active travel day normally on the calendar year, and they still think about 50 million people. And the overnight radio guy, who obviously doesn't listen to us, the Fox Radio fella, It was just interesting in that, and I don't know if you watched. Did you see with Governor Cuomo yesterday how he was criticized because he was going to go see his mom and go see his daughters and decide not to? The fellow on the overnight is simple as they said, "What are you doing for Thanksgiving?" He said, "Well, I'm not doing much. I'm not cooking. I'm going to go see my in-laws, and then I'm going to go meet my parents, and then I'm going to go do something else." And it just thought to right there, like the interaction of, and imagine that across the board in the United States. I've only gone to two different places. We only had a small gathering of 8 to 10 people. Now I'm going to go to the other place and then back and forth. For where the numbers are at, Lloydie, I can't even imagine as we get to early December. Hard to imagine it can get worse, but it's going to. And how this relates to society, to the National Football League, to the Columbus Blue Jackets, to anybody else out there, well, you're part of society right now, right? You're not in a bubble. So anytime there's now a list of Columbus shut down their facility or Vegas did, and certainly for the National Football League, I got to say for the NFL, Thanksgiving has to scare the bejesus out of them. Because
absolutely.
This has to be the feeling of this thing in a couple of weeks as we're getting almost to the finish line here, the regular season, could end up being catastrophic for the league itself, just based on the numbers and, again, based on the behavior and that feeling. And I like Canadian Thanksgiving, but if you've lived in the United States and been down there, Lloyd, it's just on a different level. Like, there's a real feeling.
Oh, it's a bigger holiday for the Americans.
Yeah,
it's bigger than Christmas.
Yeah, it really, well, it's obviously celebrated by everybody. You just the real feeling. And it's a different year, but what it would also celebrate, like Canadian Thanksgiving, everybody's coming back from school, right? Everyone's finally getting together. If you're a freshman, you put on a few pounds, you're probably not feeling great about yourself, you want to hunker down at home. First time you're going to see your parents in a few months. So we'll see what the behavior patterns are. But I think the NFL and from an NHL standpoint, I wonder if this blip, along with hopefully getting something done, getting to a new year, getting closer to, they were saying yesterday, Lloyd, the first vaccines in the United States are going to start going out December 11th. That's what they're thinking. So this will be very interesting here in the next few weeks, how this reacts.
All right, here is ESPN's Diana Russini speaking of football, and Ravens Steelers are the nightcap tomorrow night in the triple header, and you hear all the games right here on TSN 1200. For now, where does this stand with what's been going on with the Ravens over the last few days? So here is ESPN's Diana Russini on if the league plans to postpone the game.
I did speak to a source with the league office about plans for this game, because that now becomes the next big question. Is this going to be such a big outbreak that perhaps they'll move this, reschedule this? We saw this happen with Tennessee 2 months ago. I was told for now this game is still scheduled to be played on Thanksgiving. We know that Baltimore, though, struggled late in the game against the Titans just on Sunday. Their defense looking absolutely exhausted. In fact, I actually talked to some Titans players, and they said they could physically see and hear how tired that defense was by the end of the game, something that the Titans certainly took advantage of the lack of effort there at the end. But certainly this team is going to have to figure it, how to get it all together as they get ready to prepare for Ben Roethlisberger and his young weapons.
All right, so as of 7 a.m. here on Wednesday, there are four players that played for the Ravens last weekend that are now on the COVID list, and they have 10 players and combined staff that have COVID, and we'll see what today brings here.
Yeah.
Listen, if I had to do our oddshark.net line of the day right now on this game being played tomorrow night, I'd say probably not, Zimmer.
Yeah.
We'll see what the day brings, but, I think there'd be a pretty fair chance we're not going to see that nightcap.
Also to that, and sorry, I was just trying to pull up the standings, Lloydie. This is from, and again, this is, and I'll say this, it's not fair. The league's always had it in for the Patriots. And earlier in the season, you had the situation with Cam Newton.
Naturally.
He wasn't able to play. We lost. And he's never been the same since. And that really took away the season for the Patriots, right? In the case of Baltimore,
you have
to be looking at this right now. The Cleveland Browns are at 7-3. You're at 6-4. The Baltimore Ravens, fair, unfair, whatever it be, they go into that game tomorrow night and drop and go to 6-5. You're probably talking about a team that a year ago was a Super Bowl favorite, not even making the playoffs, Lloydie. But that's the world we end up living in. To your point, I don't disagree, but I also, with the National Football League, there's a bit of a feeling to charge ahead. Now, their question would be, and I guess this would be asked for the Steelers, I mean, do you want to put the Steelers in that situation of having to interact with the Baltimore players and that whole house of cards? So I don't disagree. The real issue is that for the most part, they don't look at competitive balance. They just say, hey, if we can pull these games off, no big deal. Yep. And also back to our World Junior point, and I know they've kind of built in some different mechanisms here. I know the Super Bowl. I know there's going to actually have some fans down in Tampa Bay. But if you had to shift around the playoffs, and also in a couple of weeks here, I think we'll start to get word as far as a bubble for the playoff system in the National Football League if they start to see this going in the wrong direction, where they say, listen, is it 14 teams that are making the playoffs this year? You know, you only play, you know, by week one, you're down to, well, obviously, when you're not down to seven, you know, the two get a bye, so you eliminate five, so you're down in whatever, you know, whatever the numbers are. My point being is they have to be looking at some of this and saying, hey, how are we going to get to the finish line? And if I'm a player and you tell me I have to go into the bubble for a month to pull off the playoffs, well, they're going to do that in a heartbeat, right? Or even six weeks.
They already have a plan in place, and they announced this about a month ago, that if they had to shorten the season, they'd expand the playoffs, and they'd add a team each in each conference as well. And just to make it more fair, if they couldn't get the whole regular season in. You know, the NFL is going to do everything in their power, but, you know, you bring up the point that Thanksgiving, you're right, they got to be terrified league office with the NFL about what Thanksgiving could do. Obvious what it could do, but to their league.
It would really be interesting too, Lloydie. And again, I'm not saying what on the news, because you look at the hospitalizations, that, you know, you can talk about numbers. Well, look at in the hospital, look at the people that are dying. They're at 260,000 deaths in the United States. But when we had on Anson Carter, we had on Dan Quinn, and we had on Alan May, it was just really interesting to get their perception of what's going on versus what we see, right? And for the athletes themselves, like in the National Football League, and it's a reality show nobody wants to watch right now, it would be really interesting to track some players and just see, like, hey, because I'm assuming there's a lot of guys that are really going above and beyond to try to stay safe, realizing, hey, I got to get a game check here, right? Do you know what I mean? You know, because really, when you look at the sheer volume of people that are on an NFL team to staff, with all the teams they have interacting with society, boy, that'd be, like I said, I'm surprised that the numbers aren't even higher based on what it is in society.
All right, with that, we'll take a break. A little bit late here, teeing up our guests on the show. We do have Mark Bathot joining us shortly after 9 o'clock, and, of course, Pierre McGuire shortly after 8. You can reach us, as always, at 12-1200. Your standard text message rates apply. We're back in a moment on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.